Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Jeremiah. Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Pretty good sized book there in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 29, if you will. We have spent several messages, and I began with talking about the path of righteousness. The Bible says there's a straight and narrow path. There's, in other words, there's a little, there is a way there's few options along the way. If you're going to stay on the path, the straight and narrow path, he says, many there are that go in by the broad way, and a lot of options there, but they're not going to get you where you want to be in life. They're not going to get you where you want to be in eternity. There's a straight gate. That's Jesus Christ. That gets us on the road, and that will get us to eternity. But that road between now and the time we go home to see the Lord, we can see the joy of the Lord, we can see the blessings of the Lord, or we can do this on our own and see a mess. And so there's this narrow way, and like I said, there's a lot of things out there. Well, you know what? Let's hang right down through this. It actually means restricted, and we don't like that. The fact is, there is safety in those things. You realize that, the fact is, a lot of folks have a house. They buy a house. They put a big fence in the backyard. Why? So that the dogs and the kids can play. If you took the fence down, you'd be afraid because you know what's going to happen? They're going to do something they shouldn't do, or somebody's going to come in and do something they shouldn't do. And so you have a certain amount of safety within the context, within the regulations, in the restrictions that we place. And God has given us some restrictions. He says, you're going to do it. You're going to actually have a good time if you just relax and allow yourself to enjoy life within the context that God has you. Now, the fact is that straight path is also called the path of righteousness in Psalm 23. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, if it's not righteous, it's not part of the path. Okay? You want to stay in the path, we've got to stay according to his righteousness, his truth, his judgments, his right and his wrong, according to his definition, the Lord's definition. And so it's the path of righteousness. Now, if you don't want to stay righteous, you're not on the path. Now, if you're not on the path, then you're not going to get where you want to go. Well, how do I know I'm on the path? Well, he says you can walk in the light. So he shines in the path where you're supposed to walk. Well, where'd you get that? Right out of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The light of the Word of God tells us where to walk. And so it's like having I'm using my Bible for a road map. You hear the old song there? It used to be an old bluegrass song. And that's what we need to do. Use the Bible for a road map. It tells us where we're supposed to stop, where we're supposed to start, where we're supposed to walk. That's the path of righteousness. Now, when we're walking on that narrow path, that path of righteousness, and we know where we're walking in the light, we are walking where God walks. So that means we're walking in the Spirit. Now, you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have the blessings of the Spirit. You're going to have the Spirit of God helping you along. I mentioned a few weeks ago, it was like those moving sidewalks at the airport. They look like an escalator, except they're flat. And you got these big, long hallways, and you can jump on those, and you can walk while this thing is going. And the other people are out here walking next to it, and you're walking right on past them, because you're going like this. And you got the thing moving along. You're going twice as fast as everybody else. It's kind of like it is when you're walking in the Spirit. God helps you along. You're walking, but it's like he makes everything work. Now, we want to do that. Here's the thing. A lot of people have one foot on the path and one foot in the briars. We want to do what God says he wants us to do, but we want to do it on our terms. Now, when you do it on your terms, you're not doing what he said. And so we have been talking about trying to seek the Lord with your whole heart. Now, that's where we came from. Now, I'm not going to exegete this passage or give you a lot of background here, but you'll see the principle here. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 10, this is what it says. Read it with me. Follow as I read it. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord Jehovah, the creator of all the universe. He's saying to the Jews here, he says, you've all messed up, and I'm going to take you to the woodshed. He says, you're going to have to, Babylon's going to come in and take over, and you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. That's like I say, that's a long time out. For the Lord said, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. I'm going to show up again and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Watch. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is God saying, I know how I feel about you here, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That means I'm going to give you hope. I said, I'm giving you an expected end. In other words, I'm telling you that after 70 years, I'm going to come back. Yes, 70 years is a long time. But he said, you spent a couple hundred years here, and you all haven't been obeying. And I've given you my grace, and I've been giving you a lot of slack because I'm long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but you all just had a hard head. You could do what you want to do. And by the way, we all kind of do that. All right. Lord willing doesn't send us to the woodshed for 70 years. Sometimes he sends us for a few years. Maybe it's more years. It depends on how stiff-necked and hard-headed we are. How long it takes us to give in. God, listen, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. As long as you're bucking God, he's going to resist you. Just so you know, you finally give in. It's okay, let's make this work. He says, I know. He says, I'm not doing this out of hurt. I know how I feel about you. My thoughts are peace, not evil. I want good for you. But if you're not good, I'm not going to bless sin. Verse 12. He says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now let me just, I've kind of said this in a couple different ways the last few weeks. If God seems distant, and you may have even prayed and, I mean, you kind of want God to fix what's going on in your life, and it's not happening. Two things may be happening. One is the woodshed time's not quite up yet, and he wants it to get all the way down, do a good work in your heart. Or two, we're not seeking yet with all our heart. And that's really what I've been trying to do the last few weeks here. I'm going to do a little bit of another perspective here this morning. We think we're seeking God because we showed up at church. Or we think we're seeking God because we prayed before our meals. Or before we went to bed, or we held our hand out and asked for him to help us. We think we're seeking God. We found out last week, you seek God by obeying his word. If you're not willing to obey his word, then you're not walking where the path is. You're walking someplace else. Well, he's in this little path here. That's where he walks. Now, if you want to find him, that's where you're going to find him. Don't go someplace else looking for God. Don't go down to the bar looking for the Lord. You're going to find him along that path of righteousness. And you're going to know where to walk because you've been reading God's word. And God's going to bless you in that path when you walk in that path. And that's where you're going to find him. And if you don't feel close to him, maybe we need to get back to that path. That's the way it works. If you don't work it the way it works, you're not going to find him. Now say, well, I was over there a few days and I didn't see anything of him, so I'm back over here. No. If I'm going to find him, I'm going to find him there, so I'm not moving until I find him. He says, you will find me when you seek with me with all your heart. Take your Bibles and turn back and to Psalm 119, almost in the middle of the Bible. I want to read just three short little passages here. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter, almost exactly in the middle of your Bible. Look at verse number 1. And I know I've been pretty pointed about some things here. And you think, well, you're just being plain mean. I'm not being mean. Listen, I am not God, and I know that my motives can't be as pure as God's is, but I know my thoughts toward you. They're of peace, not of evil. I want you to see the victory that you can have in your life. And I know sometimes you may say, well, he's just plain mean. And you know that I'm not being mean, but I got to be plain. Because somehow we miss it when we're not, say it plain. And we just ramble on day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. And we said, well, you know, this God thing, this church thing, it's all a big game. No wonder that people look at it as a social club. Because that's all it is if we're not going to do it the way God wants us to do it. Psalm 119, look at these passages. Think of each word. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed, happy, having a good time, enjoying life. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That simply means blessed. You're happy if you stay on the path. Undefiled, didn't get off, didn't do something crooked, stayed right where he's supposed to be. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Okay, Lord, you show your word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Show me where you want me to walk. All right, that doesn't look real good, but that's where you want, that's where I'll walk. To do with your whole heart. Well, looks like, and I mean, that path is really getting kind of narrow there. I mean, you don't really have any options. I mean, you gotta like step right where he's, but that's where I'm going to seek him. That's where I'm going to find him. Then that's where I want to be. And I'm going to find him when I seek him with my whole heart. Look at verse 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways, the paths of righteousness. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to do exactly what God wanted me to do. All right, skip down to verse 9. What happens when we get off? And we all do. Aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? Aren't you glad if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just, forgives us our sins, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness? Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do I get myself straightened out? By taking heed unto the according to the word of God. Just get back on the path. What? Just get back on the path. Yeah, you wandered off. You defiled your way. You got over here in the briars. You thought you saw something down the road you thought was real good. And you messed up. And now you're further away from God than you were. So what do? Look back in the book and see where you're supposed to walk. And walk there. Do what, trust and obey. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Whew. All right. Lord, I'm going to get, I messed up, I do. But we do mess up. We forget. And Lord has to get our attention again. But this time I'm not going to let myself forget. With my whole heart have I sought thee. I don't want to wander off that path again. Number 11, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. So what did I do? Listen, is this the light unto my path, I tell you what I did. I memorized the map. That's what he's saying. Thy word have I hidden my heart. I'm going to memorize the directions so I don't forget. And wander off. Listen, in the middle of the day, you don't have your Bible necessarily there. But blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not looking for directions from the world. Or stand in the way of sinners. Or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight in the law of the Lord. The rules, the directions. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. it starts with, blessed is a man that does that. See, what happens, we get out in the world, we haven't been spending time in church, or we haven't been reading our Bible, and you know, things kind of slip away, and all of a sudden, we forgot the directions. How do you get there? Huh? So you know what we do? We stop along the way and ask somebody from the world, how do you get there? Now around here, you get directions. They'll say, do you remember when so-and-so's mill used to be? Do you remember the big oak tree down here at the end? Now that's been gone probably 20 years now, but you know what? Turn there. Now thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, that tells me exactly where to walk. And if I get off the path, I just got to get back in the Word, and He'll show me where I'm supposed to be. Skip over to verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I've made a decision. Boy, there's a decision a lot of people need to decide. Too many people get up every morning and decide whether they're going to follow the Lord or whether they're not. Am I going to make God first thing in my life, or are we going to put it down the list today? I talked about it last week. It's Sunday, the Lord's Day. You want to go to church? What do you think? I'm being kind of facetious here, but that's what happens. Now listen, I know there's health issues. I know there's people who can't drive at night because of their sight and so forth. I understand all that. I understand there's things that are actually literally cannot make it happen. And God knows your heart. But the fact is, if I could be under hearing the Word of God, I can see the light. I can learn more of the map, so I know where I'm supposed to walk. So I'm going to walk in the paths of righteousness, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Then I'm going to go someplace where I'm going to hear more of the map, so I can get it more better memorized in my life. So that I'm not out asking the world where the directions on how I'm supposed to walk in life. I already know, because the Lord's already told me where to walk. Well, sometimes I get tired. I know, but I don't want to walk without directions. I don't want to get out there in life without my directions. I have chosen the way of truth. Watch. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, what's he saying? I laid them right out here. I'm studying the Word of God. I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. Verse 31, I have stuck, I like that, stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. There are people who make fun of independent Baptists because they say, well, you worship your Bible. No, we don't worship it, but it is the mind of Christ. It is the mind of God. I'll get to that in a little bit here. Verse 32. I will run the way of the commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. What's he saying? Fill me up with your word. I don't want to just walk in a path. I want to run. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. Listen, I don't want to just keep my head above water. I want to walk on water. And I can do it if I know where to step. And I'll know where to step when I look at the light of the Word of God. Verse 33. Here's his prayer. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I'll keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my... Say it with me. There it is. Too many people have spent their life playing games with God, playing games with truth. You know, it's like, well, it looks good, but I'm not sure I want to go all the way and stick my neck out like that. Well, then do you believe Him or do you not? Believe it or not, that's my introduction. Let's pray. I'm going to give you a couple things here. Father, speak to our hearts here this morning. I need you. You know I do. I want to make a difference in the lives of people. You know my thoughts toward them. It's a peace and not evil. And Lord, I know sometimes I get, in the multitude of words, or one if not sin, and sometimes I probably say something I probably shouldn't say, and not just an old sinner saved by grace like the rest of them. But Lord, I ask you to please to guide my words and my thoughts, and maybe you, and Lord, guide their hearts and their thoughts as you put it all together. I want to see our folks walk in your ways with a whole heart, that they may be blessed beyond imagination. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Two things from last week. We are to seek God with all our hearts. But remember this. When you seek God, you're seeking God, not other things. Some people are seeking financial freedom. Some are seeking peace. Some are seeking joy. All those things are fine. Don't seek them. They come with the package. It's standard equipment when you seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's the God of peace. You have Him. You have peace. Listen, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You want eternal life? Seek Him. Too many people trying to seek their nirvana, trying to seek utopia, seek salvation, and you don't seek salvation. You seek Jesus, and the salvation comes with it. So if you want this to happen, you've got to seek God, not anything else. Don't be looking for anything else. Seeking the Lord means doing right, walking on the path of righteousness. We just read it. Not going to preach it. You can't be seeking God if you're not doing what He asks you to do. You're running the other direction. You got to walk where He walks. That's where, now, like I said, He has a long arm, and He can come down and pull us back up. And we say, oh, my Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, save me, like Peter did when he started going down underneath the water. The Lord can pick us up and bring us right back up here, and then we got to determine, I'm going to stay on this path. How am I on the path? Reading the Word of God. It tells me, it shows light where I'm supposed to step. Stay on it. Secondly, to seek God, you've got to seek to be rid of any obstacle between you and God. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah tells us. Our sin hath separated us from God. And you can say it this way. When you walk away from Him, you're no longer walking in light. You're walking away from Him. Now there's separation between you. Besides the fact that you're saying, I want to do my own way, and I don't really want you telling me what to do. But how do you get rid of that? Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God. Looking back on the map, finding out where I'm supposed to walk, and then walk there. And he says, well, good, come on. All right, you had your heyday, you done? Okay, let's go. Let's enjoy life. We got to seek Him. To seek God with all our hearts, watch. We need to seek the Word of God with all our hearts. And we'll talk a little bit more here in a minute. If you want to seek God with all your heart, you got to seek what He has told you. What has He told us? He's told us the Word of God. You want to see His blessing, then do what His Word says. He's telling us where to walk. Listen, it's like saying, Janet, I'm going to meet you at Taco Bell tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock. And then when 12 o'clock comes around, and I'm standing at Burger King, I said, what's the matter with this girl? Where is she? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and eat and go home. She'll have to do her own there. I don't know. And later I'll say, where were you? She said, well, I was right where you told me to be. But that's not where I was. I decided I wanted to go to Burger King. We do that with God. He tells us where to meet Him, and we decide we want to go have dinner someplace else. We want to eat from the world's feed bag, trough, hog slop. We got to feed from the Word of God, the bread of life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let me give you some new things here. If we are seeking God, then that means that there's more of Him that we need to know. It means He knows some things that we don't know. It means we do not know God as well as we think. We are seeking Him. We're out here wandering around. Where is He? Well, He's right here. Well, I didn't know that. Why not? You haven't got in the Word. Or the Word hasn't gotten you. See, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We are to be seeking God's wisdom, not be telling God what to do. Boy, I tell you what, there's an awful lot of Christians who say, well, I'm going to go to church because I got this problem, and I want Him to fix it. Now, you come to Him, and He'll give you life and life more abundantly. I'll say this later, but I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, sometimes we don't know enough to even know what questions to ask. We want to tell God what to do, and we don't even know enough to ask the right questions of what to do. Well, what do you do? Just do right. Trust Him and obey Him. Well, I don't care what it looks like. The kids did Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho this week in Vacation Bible School. Now, there was a stupid thing to do, walk around that city for seven days. But God said on the seventh day, go around seven times. Well, we don't have to go all seven times, do we? Seven times. They did what the stupid, that doesn't make any sense in our eyes. But after the second time, they shouted and blew the trumpets, and sure enough, the wall came down. Now, it wasn't the fact that the million people walking around the city weakened the mortar joints, and then when they shouted, it all finally crumbled. You know, we try to explain that stuff away. No, God wanted to make it ridiculous. I'm serious. He wanted, if it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. He wanted them to go it by faith. And as stupid as it sounded. All right, boys and girls, here we go. Let's do this thing again. All right, here we go. Another lap around Jericho. All right, here we go. I bet you they didn't forget. And the walls came down just as He said. We are to be seeking God's wisdom, not telling Him what to do. Many people are not seeking God to find out what truth is from God, but to see if they can get Him in on and can manipulate God's word to validate their own thoughts and justify their own ways. Well, the Bible said so and so. Well, it didn't tell me to stop, so I said okay. Do you really think that God's word is the highest wisdom or not? I'm serious. Is it not the highest wisdom in all the universe, or isn't it? Is it or isn't it? Do you got to decide that? He said, I have chosen truth. We read a few minutes ago. I've made a decision. Word of God is true. And that's where I'm going to hang on to. I don't care what makes sense or not. I don't care if anybody else does or not. And by the way, I woke up yesterday and thinking, I'm almost 60. But I can say I have been young and now I'm old. And I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. That's the honest and goodness truth. Now listen to me. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Now watch me. If you're having to figure out, if you're having to, I don't be mean here. I'm trying to help you. If you have to beg bread, then maybe we haven't been seeking Him with all our heart. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness will add those things. He lets it get pretty tough sometimes. I'm not saying you're a big, awful, wicked sinner. But I'm saying if there's some place in your life where you feel like a beggar, whether in physical needs or other needs, maybe we haven't been seeking Him with all our heart. I really believe that some folks believe they know as much, as if not more, than God about their circumstances and their needs and how to handle them. To not seek God and His Word is to say that you are perfectly fine in your current status of knowledge of God and His ways and His Word, and you are saying you know exactly where the narrow way is and all the turns along the way, even where you haven't walked yet. Listen, there's some turns that, there's some places around here where you're going down just fine. All of a sudden, the road makes a 90-degree turn. And if you're not ready for it, aren't you glad that there's road signs that says, turn, turn, turn? Because I don't know you, but I have a heavy foot. And sometimes, if I wasn't warned, I'm afraid I'd have a problem. We're scooting along all real fine. But aren't you glad that there's signs along the way that tells us? Now, if you're not paying attention to the signs, you could be in trouble. And God has given us directions. And there's places where He says, slow down right there. Stop. Don't go over that bridge. That's not where you want to go. It's closed. It might look good, but things are going to bust on you. I mean, He tells us where we're supposed to go, and we don't bother to read the Word. We think we know better ourselves. To not seek God in His wisdom and truth is foolish. It's foolish. God's Word is the light we need to see where we should step. But some folks will not turn on the light by opening the Bible or going to hear the Word of God preached. They may make, and you know what they think? Well, life is just a flip of the coin. You never know if you're going to get good, if it's going to go well or not. It is if you live like that. I don't want to live like that. He says, I will give you an expected end. I want to give you hope. I want to know that, listen, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. His leaf also shall not wither, and he shall bring forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like that. I want that. That says I'm going to knock out the junk in the world. I'm going to find out where the Word of God is telling me, and that's where I'm going to walk. Let me read a couple verses here. Psalm 92:5 says this, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Watch. A brutish man knoweth not. Neither doth a fool understand this. Listen, his works are great. His thoughts are very deep. Listen, but you know, it says, fools don't get it. Proverbs 10, verse 8 says this. Proverbs 10, 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments. Tell me what you want me to do. But a prating fool shall fall. Someone who's always talking. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I'll tell you what I think. A prating fool shall fall. He that walketh upright walketh surely. But he that perverteth his ways, gets off the path, shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. I'll be all right. I got this covered. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Oh, I know, oh, I know. Don't tell me this. I got it all worked out. Proverbs 17:16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? He's not going to go looking for wisdom, much less put himself out of the way to find it. Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. He's looking everywhere around. I'm sure there's answers out there someplace. Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover himself. Trust your heart. Bible said, he that trusteth his heart is a fool. Yeah. The heart's deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who could know it? A wise person seeks God in wisdom with all his heart. We need to seek God with all our hearts. because we don't know many things. There's many things we don't know. And we have never been down this road of life before. We do not know what's behind the next bend. And God knows the entire road ahead of us. In fact, He updates. A tree may be down, and that's not the way to go. My Chrysler has the screen in there, and if you have things up and going, it'll say thunderstorm warning. Or if I got my GPS on, it'll say incident at exit 15. Optional route, press here. That's a great thing. It's usually wrong, but it's a great thing. Honestly, see, like many times, well, let's just go on and see what happens. We get there, nothing's there. But God's word's like that, though, and it's always true. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. It says, a wise man says, the word of God is my roadmap. And since he knows that, he's so wise, you know what he does? He doesn't stop there. He uses the road map. You know, there's an awful lot of folks who have sat in churches for decades. And you ask them where truth is, they'll say it's right there in that book. But if they needed to find it, they'd be hard-pressed. They know it's there, but they haven't hit it here yet. And what happens is, they get out here in the path, and something happens, a crisis happens, there's a problem, there's a detour, we don't know what to do, and now we don't know how to handle it. And you know what we do? We default back to our gut reaction, and we get angry, we get spiteful, we get forceful in ways we shouldn't be. We get bitter. We do something that we should have never done. And we're not walking because we didn't read the roadmap. I have had people, I'm not going to get anywhere near done here. This is only point number one. I have had people tell me, they'll say, well, preacher, you ought to preach a message on that. And I'm thinking, I did. Now, sometimes it was Wednesday night and you missed it. Or it was Sunday night or whatever it was. Or I don't have to get up on Sunday morning, so I'll come in Sunday night. I'm just saying, I don't want to miss any of the, what's the word I'm looking for? The pre-game plans here. I want to know what God has, what He has in plan. See, God showed up for our appointment. Remember that last week? God showed up for our appointment. We decided we had something else to do. We missed it. I've had people say, well, we ought to have a class on this particular subject during the week. We do. Sunday is during the week. In fact, it's the first day of the week. And by gathering on Sunday, we are all putting the Word of God first in our lives. Well, aren't we supposed to praise and worship God on Sundays? Why do you make such a big deal about the Bible study part? This is Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. That's good. Praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Let me say it again. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You don't separate God from His word. At Psalm 138, 1 and 2. Go back and look it up sometime. You want to praise God, praise Him for the truth and the righteousness and the fact He gives it to us so we can have it. Sunday is the day that the Lord told us to set aside on our calendar to learn the Word of God, to learn the map, to know where to walk, to have the light. God has given the church pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, but certain parts of the body don't seem to think that there's a need to come and be in tune with the rest of the body. I'm not trying to be mean here. And I know that God, Sunday is the Lord's Day. That's the day. That you should set that day apart for Him. But the fact is, if you really want to seek Him with all your heart, by the way, take God's word on it was my title. Take God's word on it. You want to seek Him with all your heart. Well, you know what? If you can, I think you'd come on Wednesday. You know that Wednesday's during the week? So is Friday. It's during the week. We have RU on Friday night. I'm not being kind of facetious. I'm not trying to be mean. Listen, we need a class on my schedule and my time. Well, who's running your life? You or God? I kind of used this illustration last week. You are informed that the president wants to meet with you, but the time's not convenient. It's during Wheel of Fortune. And I just don't really want to miss Wheel of Fortune. I mean, I've been watching Wheel of Fortune for the last 30 years, and, you know, can it come a different time? You see what I'm saying? Well, you know, maybe we can do this and do it on my time. Well, I don't like to get up early. Or I don't like to be out that late. Well, I don't know if what he's going to talk about are things that really pertain to me right now. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. 1 Peter 4 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Well, I'm not going to need this. I'll be just fine. Where did that come from? It's life. 1 Peter 5, "Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We all have issues. Whatever we learn, whether you think it pertains to you right now or not, we will most likely need one day, and it may be sooner than you think. Well, I know we have church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but I need you to answer my questions first. And that's where I got ahead of myself. I don't think we know all the questions we need to ask. You know what? When folks want to have a class, marriage class, you know what most times they want? How can I fix her? And she's there, how can I fix him? That's what they want to know. Well, you can't fix them. You can't. God can fix them, but only if they let God fix them. So what do? You both get as close to the Lord as you can. In other words, hey, can two walk together unless they be agreed? That's what Amos said. Well, wait a minute. What if we all got in the same map and looked at the same light, let it shine on the same path, and walked in it together? The path of righteousness in the Spirit. And if we're both walking in the Spirit, then you know what we're going to find? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. In other words, you can't hold much against a person with that, can you? Be married to somebody with love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. You know what? That solves the issue. Solves the issue. We don't need nothing wrong with having class. We're starting a couples class, and we're going to talk about these things. But we're going to bring up the symptom and take us back to the source of the answer, our walk with God. Well, answer my questions now, and I'll decide if the Word of God is right and how much farther I want to go in this. Jesus says, we do err not knowing the word of God. Give the Lord his day on his time if you expect God to speak to your heart. We are here for God and to serve him. God's not here to serve us, though he does. He's not here to serve us. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's going to be worth my time and effort. Well, if you're setting God's schedule by our calendar, we're not seeking God with all our hearts. Say it again. If you're setting God's schedule by your own calendar, you're not seeking God with all your heart. In other words, God, whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, I just want. Tell me. You know, he didn't need to give us the first day of the week. He could have left us just flail around through life. But he knows his thoughts toward us of peace, not evil. Now, I know this is pretty pointed. If all we were doing is standing up and pulling down a screen and shaking it and waving and singing a song because we liked it and we were going to go home, I'll be honest with you, I don't have time for that. And I'm a musician. I like music. Sang my first solo at 4 years old. Started to travel other churches when I was 12. I started directing my church choir when I was 18. My first degree was in music. I've been directing a choir somewhere somehow since I was 18, which is 41 years ago. I like music. I've sung and played and my guitar and my mandolin and traveled around with a southern gospel country bluegrass group, and I like music. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to know the word of God so I know where to walk, so I'm not falling off the cliff in the briars or someplace else. I want to know the word of God. And if I'm going to know the word of God, I've got to seek him with all my heart. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. Lord, help us to seek you with all our heart. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.